Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live weekly Prophecy Reality Edition. And let's see, well, let's start out with a little bit of gospel news here. Hear ye, therefore, the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that receives seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And I would pray that we all are bringing forth fruit. Okay, today, what do we have going on here? Good morning to Dale and Ruth and Stephen and Ellie and everyone else in the chat room who's there, or all the listeners out there. Oh, today the world is still going even more crazy than ever before. So let's just look at some headlines and see what we have going here. Let's see. I got something here from many people are asking, what about Elon Musk buying 9% of Twitter stock and joining the board of directors. Well, all I can say is, well, we can see what'll happen out of that. I'm really becoming disappointed with all of these so-called social media. Let's see, Gab, which is I got on Gab, but I'm pretty much being shadow banned there. And I just really don't have time for the Gab. One of my, Facebook accounts, they wanted me to give them a cell phone number to continue using it. And I refused to do that. I mean, I don't know why I know why they want my cell phone number, so they can identify me and use it against me in the future, if necessary. They just want as much information on everyone as they can. And you know, the stuff that I post is not politically correct according to New World Order standards, right? So I refuse to give them a number and don't really care. Let's see, what else do we got? You got Getter, and you've got, what's the other one? There are other ones out there. I don't know. I've got enough to do. I don't need to mess around with social media. So I'm pretty much just going to leave it all behind. Now, I noticed that, speaking of social media and internet social networks, what's his name? David Knight, who we replay in the afternoon. And I hope you've been enjoying the show there. But he got on a platform called Rockfin. That's it. Rockfin. And I'd never heard of it before. So he kept saying Rockfin. So I eventually looked it up. And I thought, oh, well, this might be an alternative to YouTube. Right? Yeah. So anyway, I looked everywhere to get on, and then they have this thing where to join Rockfin or become a creator. And so I press it and it goes nowhere, and you just end up and nothing happens. So if I finally emailed them, and then they emailed me back and they wanted to, you know, to see who I was. So I gave them my website, my WordPress page, And they decided that I was not what they were looking for. What they told me that we're only accepting accounts for the kind of people that we already have on Rockfin. Wow. I just thought, what? Okay, so they don't want me on Rockfin anyway. So I started looking at what kind of accounts they have, and they have no evangelicals, no gospel preaching at all, and they have no Protestants whatsoever. But they do have Catholic evangelists. Let's see, what do you call them? New Age Catholic proponents, and especially there's one on there, his name's Jay, forget his last name, but he is fervently anti-Protestant. Well, so seeing all these Catholic weirdos on there, and especially one that is anti-Protestant, you know, these people are, what do you call them? Zealous. Yeah, they're zealous Catholics. So they have zealous Catholics on there. So I figured out right away that why I wasn't welcome, because, you know, I am openly Protestant or Protestant and pretty much not Catholic. Okay. And so they would have David Knight on there just to get his audience, basically. And besides, he doesn't preach the word and is not overt Protestant. Try our tube. Oh, there are so many out there. And, you know, I'm already on a bunch that nobody is listening to them anyway. So I'm going to be off of YouTube soon. So I'm going to make the switch here, sometime, probably this summer to, what is the one I'm thinking of? Well, I forget what it's called, but it's, yeah, and they have our tube and you, you know, YouTube and other, and there's a whole bunch of them that are out there that, and how many, I have to choose ones that, people are going to listen on. And right now I'm on, well, Trovo. I don't think anybody listens on Trovo. So at least from my experience, every time I've gone and there's nobody listening. Now I can go over to, Odyssey, and sometimes you can find 60 people on there, and other times 4 or 5, or there's always someone on there. And then if I go to DLive, which I can go there right now, and there are 3 viewers there right now on DLive. So I get relegated. Yeah, Rumble's the other one. I'm going to go to Rumble. See, I think David got kicked off of there. Someone says YouTube. I've heard of that one. I heard him say that one before, but I'm not sure he's on there anymore. Our tube and all these. So I don't really know. And I think I think the same problem is like with Gab. So I thought, well, I have one social media and I'll do Gab. And then I got on Getter because John Arthur was on there. But, you know, I can post stuff on those. And I see other people just post dumb stuff that really isn't, you know, you could post on Twitter or whatever, and they would love it. And they get hundreds of likes or whatever, or shares. I post stuff on there and get nothing. So why waste my time? You know, it's like I'm being shadow banned even on those other ones, and especially Gab, because there are a lot of Catholics, you know, like Right Side Broadcasting and a lot of Catholics on Gab. So I think they're pretty much locked into, I would call them, rebellious Catholics, because they're rebelling against the Pope, and because they don't like Pope Francis. And that was another thing. I was listening to True News a couple weeks ago, because he went on vacation or something. So he took a week off or something and went somewhere. And so I listened to the broadcast that he had pre-recorded for Monday, and he started talking about the Pope. And he said something very peculiar, which I think was very telling, because he said, this was his words, I could probably find it, I think it was 2 weeks ago Monday, it was a pre-recorded broadcast, and he said that he did not accept the present Pope Francis. He believed that the true Pope was in exile. What? What? You know, this is coming from Rick Wiles of the Devil, man. When I heard that, it about hit the floor. That's an admission. That's a proclamation of faith in the true Pope, not the fake Pope Francis Pope, but because he's not the true Pope, but the true Pope is in exile. That was out of Rick Wiles' mouth. And I think he let that slip. I don't think he meant to let it slip, though, because he's been very careful about not allowing his faith in Catholicism out there, because, you know, he could have a lot of people fooled. Certainly had me fooled. When I heard that, though, I'm thinking, well, there's no doubt about it. He may be a rebellious Catholic, but he is a Catholic. What do you think? So anyway, that's all this social media stuff going on. Is that the Pope that retired? Well, yeah, that would be Benedict. Yeah, the Nazi Pope. The Nazi Pope. Yeah, because he was a Nazi youth, Pope Benedict, the one before Francis. Yeah, and he still lives at the Vatican. I'm not sure. I think maybe he does. It's the first time they had a Pope retire and stick around. I don't know. Maybe he was forced on. I have no idea. Yeah, I don't get into all that Catholic intrigue. Don't really care much about it. You know, I identify, yes, the Latin man is the Antichrist. And that's what the number of the beast being the number of a man points to identify that great apostate church. Yeah, that we get from the scripture there. Anyway, hello to Mr. Wordsworth over there in WW and whoever else is listening live over there at DLive. That's it. I have DLive on there. Okay. Not playing it, though. Okay, news items. Let's get to some news items. Let's see what I've got here. Oh, yes. Okay. So Elon Musk, will he change Twitter? Will Trump go back on Twitter now that his Truth Social is crashing? Will Trump save the nation once again? Yeah, I wouldn't count on it. He began all this warp speed nonsense, and he still has nothing but nice things to say about the transhuman jab that's, killing our neighbors and destroying the nation. But perhaps he was God's instrument for judgment on America. Well, judgment on the whole world. Yeah. The whole world. That's right. Okay. But now I think, you know, you see things going on and they got the side show going on over there with the actor president of the Ukraine, playing out his script. He's a good actor. You know, maybe, I don't know if he's a good actor or not. He had a show of his own. Well, actually, he had a sitcom about being the president of the Ukraine before he became the president of the Ukraine. So, how many of you knew that? I think they actually have it on Netflix now. You can go over there and watch him play the president of Ukraine before he became the president of Ukraine. Yeah. So what an actor following the script that he's given, I'm sure. And I think they're all following the script. You know, how about Vladimir Putin? Is he following a script? Yeah, I think he might care more about his own people than, say, Joe Biden cares about Americans. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. So I think we'd be better off with an American Putin than an American Joe Biden. But yeah, that's just wayward thoughts there. Okay. So even with all that going on and they're purposely destroying the economy and creating shortages, make sure you get some seeds. There's probably going to be a seed shortage by this time next year. Yeah. Because people, should start planting food everywhere. You live in the city, plant a garden, plant in your, instead of your flower beds, pull them flowers out, you know, unless they're edible flowers, and start growing vegetables all over the city if you live in the city. Because, and I'll tell you why I want the people in the city to grow vegetables in their yards, backyards, or flower beds. That way they won't come pillaging out in the country where I live. But don't worry. You know, if it comes to it, we'll have to keep watch on our place here if they start foraging. Of course, the nearest big city to me is Bakersfield, and that's about 50 miles away. So there's a lot of country between me and the big cities. And then the next big city is Fresno, and it's even further away. It's like 70 or 80 miles from me. So I'm not too worried about the huge cities. But we'll see. And this is the kind of stuff that we have to be thinking about these days. That's what makes it weird, because the world is going crazy and the signs are everywhere. If you can't see the signs, what's going on, if it doesn't give you a little, you know, I mean, we feel fear as God's people. We understand fear, but we feel the fear, but we don't fear the fear, okay? Because our faith overrides the fear. And so fear can be a good thing, because, you know, things are not going the way that they've been, and they're not going to, I don't think they're ever going to get back to the way they've been. I think if there is a great tribulation, because the Bible does say, speak of the days preceding the return of Christ in chapter 24 of Matthew, it says, there shall be great tribulation. It's not the great tribulation, but I guess if you're going to put a the in front of it, that definite article, the, well, we're in it already. And no, it's not going to be 7 years. It's going to be until he comes. But I would say that the tribulation, the great tribulation of those days is here. Like I said, it's not going to be 7 years. It's going to be until he comes. Now, we're still waiting for the play to begin over there on the Temple Mount. Seems everything is up in the air, but it is taking shape slowly. And I just remember, you know, like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, speaking about the end of the world and the coming mark of the beast and everything that we're starting to see it coming so much faster now. You know, it's like it's almost on top of us. Whereas 20 or 30 years ago, it seemed like it was never going to happen. But no, I've always known it was going to happen and it would get to this. The question is, would I live long enough to see it? Well, I'm living long enough to see the beginning of it, to see how they're going to make it happen. But I think that as the scripture says, that God would have them in derision. You know, they counsel together, the rulers of evil, the rulers of this world of evil counsel together. He who sits in the heavens will laugh. And he's laughing at them right now, because everywhere they turn, it seems like they sabotage their own efforts. But at the same time, it seems that it's going to continue. You know, it's like the transhuman jab. They're not giving up on it. They're still requiring it for children who want to go to the university. It's mandatory. So they've turned it over to the corporations to do, and still some, although it's a lot less now, it seems to be falling apart. And I pray that it keeps falling apart. I pray that, you know, God will have them in derision, and their things will not go according to plan. It seems that they're going to get their one world government, their global governance thing, and even sleepy Joe Biden, the pretender in chief over there, started commenting on a new world order, and it's going to be led by America. Well, I think he has all these visions of grandeur and his messianic delusions, and he's the Messiah. But really, he's just an agent for the Antichrist. And that's another thing. People, they just don't accept it. You know, here it is. It's taking shape before their very eyes. And they still don't believe that they can know who the Antichrist is. They just cannot accept it. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth, this book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality worldview weekly edition. And I just come here once a week, and I have to admit I didn't prepare for this show. I've been very, very, very busy. There's just way too much to do. So not a whole lot of preparation here. We're just going off the cuff. Looked at a few headlines. Now, I did watch an interesting video yesterday, and this was Arthur Pawlowski, who spent 51 days behind bars in Canada for what is his crime? Anyway, this was a very interesting video. I sat down and watched the whole thing yesterday, found it very interesting, and this was on Rebel News, And I'm not going to play it now, but I'm going to put the link in the chat room for you all to listen to later. It gave me a lot of insight into, the thought of going to jail. Yeah, as Christians, that should cross our mind occasionally, that we may end up incarcerated for our faith, or worse. Because I was thinking, if I ended up in prison, well, I would definitely spend my time preaching the gospel. I mean, that would be, I would figure that's why I'm there, why else would God allow that to happen to me if I can't preach the gospel there? And of course, we all have our own trials and tribulations that we have to deal with in this life. That's something we have to consider, or something worse could happen. We might have to die for our faith. What is going to happen in the next, 30 years, 20 years, or even 10 years? Yeah. Could be interesting, to say the least. I mean, it's already very interesting, but we have to be prepared for just about anything, from going to jail, being put in a concentration camp of some sort, to being burned on the at the stake or beheaded, or to made to disappear in one way or another. Any of these things could happen. If this pastor could be thrown in jail for 51 days in Canada for simply going to a legal protest event, something that was legal before they did it, to preach there, then anything's about to happen. Now, things may not be that bad, or they could be really bad. I learned a lot from the article there anyway, from his interview with this guy on Rebel News. So definitely worth watching. See, Stephen in the chat room says, yes, my family and friends believe jail is my goal. I wouldn't call it a goal. It might be your destiny, or, a destination that you don't want to go to, because no, who's going to go willingly unless you're going there to preach the gospel and you have a prison ministry or something? Yeah, you don't really want to go there on purpose. The best thing we can do is prepare right where we're at. We're definitely at the beginning, on the cusp of hyperinflation. That's a little scary too, but that's why I say we have to plant food, because they're disrupting the food chain. So even if you have all the money in the world, if you can't buy food, then all your money's not any good, So planting food is a good way to go. Getting connected with local farmers markets may be the way to go. There may come a time where, because they're not letting go with this transhuman jab thing. Look what they've been able to do so far, despite all of the deaths and all the people that have been injured. They're still pushing forward. It just doesn't matter. They change the narrative. They drew people's attention away from it. Meanwhile, while nobody's paying attention, they're still pushing it. And then, of course, Dr. Faustus here. Yes, this guy, Dr. Faustus, you know who I'm talking about. Anthony Fauci. Still pushing it, saying that, yeah, we have to be ready for yearly jabs. See, now I'm going to get banned on YouTube because I said that. you can't even speak the truth on these stupid social platforms without knowing that if someone pays attention, that you're going to get another strike and taken off. Yeah. So that's why I think I'm going to look into Rumble here by the summer and totally get off of YouTube altogether. So I don't like to have to be careful about saying certain words, but you all know what I'm talking about anyway. If I say the transhuman jab, I don't think that's in their vocabulary yet, the transhuman jab, because that's what it is. It's a transhuman jab. It changes your DNA. That's the whole purpose of it. It's called, you know, gene therapy. Yeah, might as well. I'll just have to delete this program as soon as I'm done and repost it on other forums. So while all of that's going on, they're still going to be pushing on this thing. And I just wonder, what are Americans going to do? I know I'm not wearing any masks. Yeah. And I'm not ever taking the transhuman jab. Never. And so if I can't get it, if I can't go to a grocery store, because they've already test run this thing for, you know, all of 2020 and 2022 or 2021. I've already test run this thing. And I think they believe they can bring it back. Yeah. But I think there's going to be some pretty stiff opposition. But I just think they don't care. That's all. I mean, they didn't care about the Canadian truckers at all. Did it do any good? No, it changed nothing. They just used it to, you know, young global leader of the World Economic Forum, Justin Trudeau, just used it as an excuse to, bring forward more emergency powers. Yeah. War emergency powers. Let's see. You can go to local markets and the bakery and ask for free food grade buckets for seeds and wheat berries. Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea. You can try that, or you can, yeah. I mean, they probably don't throw those buckets away. They probably sell them if they don't give them away. But if you got people giving them away, take them. Yeah. And you can grow. I think that I saw a YouTube video. You could grow potatoes in a bucket. So, I mean, if you're in the city and you got, you know, limited space, you can do something anyway, at least gross enough food that you can eat some or supplement some of your food income that is going up. Now, I haven't been to the store lately, but every time I go, I notice the prices are up a little bit more. I do know that I used to buy these 10-pound box of ground beef patties for, it was $23 for 10-pound box of 40 ground beef patties. Put them in the freezer. And now that same box is like $39. How much inflation is that? Well, that's like 30 or 40%. Is that right? Or is that 50%? Yeah, that's... I'm guessing from $23 to $39, that's more like 50% inflation, I think, at least. So that's a lot of inflation, especially in meat items. And because of the drought here, I planted hay, as I usually do, because I don't know whether it's going to rain or not. And a weird thing happened in my field, okay? I had a lot of weeds out there. And I planted rye and oat. And the rye and the oat are still out there. They just haven't grown very much. But they're beautiful green because we had a lot of rain. We had the early rain, but we haven't got the latter rain. So I've got a lot of, but it's overpowered by weeds and especially, foxtails. If you don't know what foxtails are, that renders the hay worthless for horses, say, but you can feed it to sheep and to goats. And so I was kind of upset, you know, even had some, a few questioning. Yes, I questioned God once in a while. Why? You know, I mean, this is like the worst outcome that I could not even imagine this. That I put more seed out there this year than I ever have, 50 pounds more than I ever have before of, hay seed. And when you look at the field now, it looks like it's all foxtail. And And so I decided what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy me some Dorper sheep. They're a special breed for meat because they can eat foxtail. And so they can eat my foxtail, they can eat the oat and the rye that's out there mixed in it. And it ought to fatten up quite a few sheep. So maybe that's what God wants me to do. And that way I'll have meat, you know, meat to eat and meat to trade for other foods or, you know, as we see what goes on. So I think I'm starting a new venture here on the ranch. I think I'm going to start raising some Dorper or meat sheep. You don't have to shear these sheep because they shed. Because I don't want to do, you know, shearing and all that stuff. But yeah, but it would be nice to have meat. And they're supposed to be milder tasting, more like beef than regular sheep, because they don't produce the lanolin like the regular sheep do, if any of you know what that is. So those are some of the things, you know, that I'm definitely, you know, I'm going to get on the phone this week and I'm going to make sure I'm going to get some kind of word from this well contractor, because they've already they paid for my permit. I haven't given them a dime yet, but they paid nearly $1,000 for the permit. And of course, I'm supposed to reimburse them when they start the job. Because that's what the contract says, that when they start, then I'm supposed to pay them at least half down. That's what the contract says. So they have an interest in getting over here and getting my job done, but they said they'd have it in by this summer. That gives them until like the second week of June, which for me is like, you know, summer's already started for me. It's going to be 96 degrees here today. Yeah. Hard to have those sheep in cold weather. Well, the Dorper, look them up. You can find sheep for, I mean, it isn't cold that cold where you're at, Stephen. I think you think you're in Colorado there somewhere, aren't you? I think the Dorper sheep would do fine. They get a heavy coat. They just shed. You know, like like a horse or a pony or a dog, they get a heavier coat in the winter. So, they're fine, but they just shed their fur like other animals do. So you just don't have to shear them. So they'll be fine, even in colder places. Because looking into it, because I've been researching it for about a week now, and I'm going to go out this weekend, and I'm just going to go on faith that I'm going to have my water. And I figure if I don't have my water, there are a lot of empty lots and acreage around me where I could put my sheep, where they have water. So, yes, goats are popular. Says, but there's more meat on the sheep. They do have meat goats that are bred for meat too. But I think you get more meat on the sheep anyway. And goats have, I have goats here for that I can milk, but that's about it. They're not big enough. They're Nigerian. Pygmy goats, but they give great milk. You know, if you got a couple of them, and I don't milk them year round. I only milk them in season. So it's nice to have milk once in a while, but it's, everything you do just adds to your workload too. So you got to have people helping you if you can get some help. So there's a lot of things we can do. You can do wherever you're at. I'm sure you can't raise Dorper sheep in the city. But, you know, perhaps you could have some chickens. Just don't get any roosters. Your neighbors won't like it if you get roosters. Okay. But yeah, I guess you could get some goats and, you know, have a chicken pen and feed them garbage. Yeah. You could feed chickens garbage, you know, all the scraps, grass clippings, whatever. Chickens are great to have. I've got way more eggs than I can use. It's an opportunity to give eggs away or trade them for other stuff. Right now, I just give them away to people that are kind and, you know, or maybe need them. Yeah. So, let's see. Okay, let's look at some other stuff here. The war propaganda changes its shape. The war propaganda is changing all the time over there. it seems that they really want World War III, or they're just trying to scare people. I think it may be more fear than anything else, but I don't know. You know, we can only live one day at a time and see what's going to happen. Wars have happened in the past. Whether we're going to have World War III or not, it doesn't matter. You know, God doesn't need, obviously, as we've seen, God doesn't need war to judge people. although wars are happening right now in other places, of course, over to Ukraine. And I believe they have a false flag thing over there. They're blaming on Russia right now when it's actually the Ukrainian Nazis that are carrying on their death squads. Yeah, because the Nazis, they do that. They have death squads. So, and then they can blame it on their enemy, or the enemy of the New World Order that they're trying to establish over there. Let's see. Ukraine and zombification of America. The zombification of America. And it's amazing how many people are walking around like everything is the way it's always been. And they don't see nothing. I guess as long as they can go to the store and get groceries and still have their job or get their welfare check, nothing has changed. It's amazing that people don't see what's going on. And maybe they're, you know, I mean, you can get to the point where you see what's going on, but you don't want to see it. You don't want to look at it. You don't want to consider it. You just want to go out about your life and forget about it as if nothing is happening. But the end is here. Yeah. Jesus is coming back, and they call it the post-apocalyptic world. And so the world has its view of the apocalypse. And of course, their view of the apocalypse is all destruction. But the post-apocalyptic world is going to be wonderful. Because, you know, when Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom, you know, you'll find out, all you amillennials out there, that Jesus is going to do it. You know, God is going to do what he said in his word that he's going to do. They want to turn chapter 20 into a parable, or a recapitulation of chapter 19, whichever suits them better. But whatever you do, you can't take it by the plain reading of the text. They would rather, you know, go on parables, the parables of Jesus, and use those as their pattern for prophecy. So they want to change chapter 20 into a parable, and they want to say that the parables are explicit. They've got it backwards. That's what the amillennials do. But the post-apocalyptic world, when Jesus comes back, is going to be wonderful. It's going to be everything that the present world we live in is not. And there's going to be some restoration of, say, longevity is one thing that we're going to have a restoration of. And there's going to be peace, yeah, between nations, because Satan is not going to be able to deceive the nations in the millennial reign of Christ. That is the only thing that is specifically mentioned, but it's the only thing that the amillennials don't want to admit to. They say, oh no, that Satan is bound right now during our amillennial millennium. Our millennium that's not a millennium, the present millennium, which is the present age, they believe that Satan is bound. But he isn't bound as it is specifically referenced to in chapter 20. That is, that he would deceive the nations. Now, anyone who could believe for a minute that the nations have not been deceived for the last 2,000 years is delusional. And they're delusional on purpose, because they want to believe that chapter 20 of the Revelation is not true, that it's a parable of a sort. And that they would rather believe parables are the truth and explicit, when they're obviously not. Parables are meant for a purpose, to teach whatever the object lesson of the parable is. And that's what a parable is for. To use it as prophecy, there are prophetic elements to parables, but, you know, according to the rule of progressive revelation, meaning that as time goes on, or as more books were added to the Bible, our revelation is expanded and perfected. It becomes clearer, not more fuzzy. You know, that which is later should be more concise and more clear. And it is. It should clear up all of the confusion, that which comes later. And I believe chapter 20 puts all of everything that is prophetic in the parables and the gospels and the epistles and even the Old Testament. I believe chapter 20 about the age to come. And that age to come is the messianic age. It's the age where Christ rules over this creation, this 7,000 year creation. It is the last and final 1,000 years of this creation. And this is where you lose it with worldly people who believe in evolution and that the earth has been here millions of years. Not we, but the earth has been here millions of years. They're so indoctrinated with evolution that they just simply cannot believe that we haven't even been here for 6,000 years, or we're just getting up to the end of the 6th millennia right now. Okay, you're listening Across the Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality Edition.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Okay, we are back. Yes, resistance is not futile. We must resist. Got an article here by Mark Circus. Nice name, Circus, spelled with an S, though. Breaking humanity's back with needles, bombs, and starvation. What you are about to read is about what is happening in the world is tedious, depressing, terrifying, and infuriating. The world is falling apart at the seams. And it's not all Russia's fault, though they are the spike plunging our flight path down. That's kind of a weird picture. Well, keep moving on here. Just for starters, we see that the European Union apparatus is actively engaged in destroying their national economies on behalf of Washington's interests. You know, it's while Washington, Washington, D.C., that is the stronghold of the Antichrist on the continent here, is doing the same thing in America. Yeah, destroying our state economies, our national economy, on behalf of the Antichrist's interests. And that's really what it gets back to. America's also suiciding itself and its privileged position of holding the world's reserve currency. Are we doing that? Is America doing that? Or is, yes, the Antichrist doing it? Well, we'd have to say, yes, world reserve currency. The Federal Reserve note, that's not really American. It's phony. It's counterfeit money. It's counterfeit American money. Yes, how they got the monopoly on counterfeiting money for America. Well, we all know the tale. Yeah. Woodrow Wilson, 1913, the Federal Reserve Act. Yeah, took them over 100 years to get in here and take over our money, but they finally did. Yeah, they worked on it very hard from the very beginning. As a result, the world order dominated by the United States is being ripped asunder, with Russia, China, India, and even Saudi Arabia leading the charge into a bipolar world. So is it goodbye to globalization, or is it globalized medicine with the World Health Organization jockeying to supplant national governments during the next pandemic? Well, that's true. That's the plan. They have their new worldwide global treaty, pandemic treaty, the pandemic treaty. Yes, they loved it so much, what they were able to do to us over the last 2 to 3 years, that they want to codify it worldwide, globally. They want to run the world from the WHO. Yeah, they do really do want to do that. We, the people of this planet, are sitting ducks caught in a crossfire. If we are not killed by a nuclear exchange, hundreds of millions of us will starve, and billions more will become malnourished. And that is only the beginning of our woes. Sounds kind of biblical. Whoa. Woes. That is only the beginning of our woes. Yes. For obliterating us is getting easier for the nasty, monstrous types that inhabit our planet. We are being attacked on all fronts. Even the chickens. And this guy had a link there, even the chickens. So I clicked on it, and here it is. U.S. considers vaccines to protect poultry from deadly bird flu. But there it is. U.S. considers vaccines. What, are they going to vaccinate every chicken now? Well, how much is that going to add? Is, you know, how much money is Pfizer going to make on chicken vaccines if they have to vaccinate every chicken? Boy, that's going to raise the price of chicken in the world, isn't it? Yes, you're going to be paying $10 a pound for chickens now. So they're considering it, though. That's what the article says. Considering, let's see, 2 days ago, to protect poultry from deadly bird flu. Yes, all those unhealthy birds, all those obese birds, all those birds with comorbidities. Look out. The flu is going to get you. You must be vaccinated. It's going to be mandatory. Yeah, they like the mandatory thing. Let's see. U.S. Department of Agriculture is looking into vaccines as an option to protect poultry against deadly bird flu, the agency's chief veterinary officer said, as the country faces its worst outbreak since 2015. What, they found one more chicken? Or they haven't tested since 2014. Whatever, who knows. And say, wait, they're using the PCR test. That must be it. Does chicken case, their chickens have cases. That's right. Supporters say vaccines could keep poultry alive. Prevent finance. Well, the object of growing poultry for food is not to keep it alive, but to get it up to its maximum weight so you can kill it and eat it. Let's end control, prevent financial losses and control food costs. Those shots would be too late to stop the current outbreak that has wiped out 22 million chickens and turkeys in commercial flocks since February. Say, I haven't heard anything about that. Of course, I wonder if they're using the PCR. What, are they going around just testing chickens? Giving them PCR tests? Previously, the United States has issued vaccines, worried that importers will ban U.S. poultry shipments because they cannot distinguish infected birds from vaccinated ones. The United States is the world's second largest poultry meat exporter, a major egg producer, with shipments reaching $4.2 billion in 2020. However, the USDA's Mad Scientist Agricultural Research Service investigating the potential for a vaccine that could be distinguished from the wild type of virus spread to poultry. Yeah, it ought to be about as successful as transhuman jabs for humans, right? Yeah. Yes, chickens getting myocarditis and stuff. Yeah, blood clots. Ugh. Okay, so anyway, that was our little side trail there on the chicken road. We are all being attacked on all fronts, even the chickens, with Pfizer and Moderna leading the charge into a special hell reserved for the vaccinated. A full-scale war on humanity is in progress. The bad guys are winning. It certainly seems like they're winning, doesn't it? The awful truth is that people like Bill Gates want as many of us dead as possible. I said that years ago. And people are starting to catch on. His beloved eugenics is a force and a mental attitude beyond evil, a nightmare. So a whole troop of people like Gates is working to overtime to drag billions of us into an inferno of suffering where, unfortunately, the living might end up envying the dead. Apparently, that's where they seem to be going. It's like to kill as many people, maim, kill, steal, and destroy as many people and as much of the world as possible. They want to reduce the population so bad, they are willing to take their tens and hundreds of billions of dollars and put it into the project of killing as many people as possible. Yes, this kind of evil does exist in the world. They are out there, and they have announced it openly and publicly. In Germany, the risks are clear. Martin Brudermüller, of BASF, the world's largest chemical producer, has warned that curbing or cutting off energy imports from Russia would likely spiral Germany into its most catastrophic economic crisis going back to the end of World War II. And why? Yes, because of the Ukraine. And because they were persecuting Russians in the Ukraine, and Russia just simply could not stand by. And that's why I say, I think Putin cares more about the Russian people than certainly Joe Biden cares about the American people. That much is obvious to me. I mean, that's the only reason he's in the Ukraine. Well, it may be I think it's the major reason. At least it's the reason that gave him his excuse to go in there. You can research it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. But certainly don't take the mainstream media seriously on anything they say about it. So Brudermüller called this a catastrophe, and we will feel it even more clearly next year than this one. In other words, I mean, you know, I'm feeling the effects of the supply chain disruptions right now because I can't get my well in. It's called rig parts and well casing are not available. Now, my contractor did say they had the casing, but now they're having shortages. I mean, problems with workers finding people to work on their projects. And I believe that the contractor himself, who owns the company, his daughter's running it now. Oh, he died suddenly. And I, you know, the question in my mind, I'll bet he took that vaccine. Yeah. Because a lot of people are dying suddenly because of what we're talking about. So that, the sudden death, well casing that took months to find, parts for rigs, and now can't find people to work. Yeah. But people are dying. So it's affecting me in every way, and I don't have my well, which is yet. So I'm supposed to be next on the list. So I'm just praying, oh Lord, please help me get my well in. But see, that makes it real for me. All of this stuff is happening, and it's affecting me in my life. And so it's affecting a lot more than me in my life. It's affecting a lot of people out there. So if you wonder what is going on, why it's going on, well, there it is. This is what happens when you implement a eugenics program on billions of people in the world. So he says, it's a catastrophe. We will feel it even more clearly next year than in this one, because most of the fertilizers that the farmers need this year have already been bought. In 2023, there will be a shortage. So see, you have time. Start a garden. Learn how to do it. Start out small. Next year, you're going to need a bigger garden. Make sure you save enough seeds from your garden this year to plant all the things that you like and grew good in your, that you know how to grow, because the things you know how to grow that you're successful at, they'll produce a lot of seeds for you. So make sure you get some of them seeds. Yeah. And just save them seeds, put them in Ziploc bags or whatever, and after they dry out, of course, you don't want them to rot. And put them away for next year. Make your own fertilizer, says Stephen over here. Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. My chickens are anti-vac too. Yes. So as a matter of fact, the whole farm here, the whole farmstead here is anti-vaxxers. We're against any vaccine that has immunity from, liability. Yeah, I'm against any medicine that has that the company that makes it has immunity from liability on it. That's what I'm against. Okay? That's what I'm against. See, okay, goes on here. In 2023, there will be a shortage, and then the poor countries in particular, for example, Africa, will no longer be able to afford to buy basic foodstuffs. He was talking about famine. And that's the truth. Those are the ones that suffer first are the poor. It is the poor that, when the price of things go up, they have to focus on food. And then if the food gets out of their budget, then they have to eat less, or they just have to eat less because they have to have a place to live. They have to pay their regular bills. They have to start cutting out things that aren't necessary, you know, eating out and Netflix and things like that. And so, you know, some good may come of it. Who knows? But if people have to starve, that's not good. So the point is that because of the economic and financial war against Russia, it could collapse the lives of millions of Germans. American politicians do not care. Well, they don't care about us. Why should they care about the Germans? By the way, I am, my main ancestry is German. By the way, German and Polish, got some Irish there and, in there too. So. That would be my European ancestry, would be German, Polish, and Irish. Okay, continuing on. And then when you get over to the last 2,000 years, they're all mixed up over there and all throughout Europe. So, yes, it's a European salad. Okay, American politicians do not care, and it seems neither do Germany's leaders. It's a war against humanity, though the axe will fall harder in some countries. Yeah, they just don't seem to care about the people anymore. I mean, when the 2020 elections come in America, will there be a candidate that cares about the people? Well, there may be a few more that care about the people than there were last time. because I believe that a lot more people are moving to participate because of what's going on. So that's something we can pray about. But then we always have the problem of the elections. Those elections are going to have to be watched much more closely, or we're never going to have another upset like we had in the national elections in 2016. So I believe they cheated in 2016. They just didn't cheat enough, because you saw what happened in 2020. They saw they were going to lose even though they cheated as much as they could. So they stopped the counting in the middle of the night. And then we saw the suitcases come. We all saw it. Come on. Nobody's kidding anybody here. It may be taboo. If I leave this video on YouTube for more than an hour after the broadcast, I might get another strike just for saying these things. Cause I've already traversed, what, 3 or 4 taboo subjects on the mainstream social death media. The social media of death. Yeah, the social media of death and eugenics cult. That's it. That's what it is. They don't want the truth. Yeah. And there are a lot of people that, yeah, they just go along and they think, oh, wow, if they're banning people for saying stuff, it must be bad. It must be wrong. They wouldn't ban them if it wasn't wrong what they were saying. You know, it's like, la, 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 don't want to hear that. Yeah. Ban them, please. It'll only come true if you allow them to say it. And if we stop them from saying it, it won't happen. It won't be true. If we don't allow people to speak the truth will not be true. So that's the kind of mentality that people have. It's utterly ridiculous. So the axe will fall harder in some countries, our author says. If Europe refuses to buy Russian food, the net effect is that Russia has food and the West doesn't. Increased food prices, decreased use of fossil fuels, lowering standards of living, public money poured into renewables. This is all part of a very familiar agenda. Regardless of what you feel about Putin, Zelensky, the war in general, or Ukrainian Nazis and the American and European politicians, the Nazis who back them. Boy, this guy knows what he's talking about here. It's time to confront the elephant in the room. We need to be asking, what exactly is the real aim of these sanctions, and how come they align so perfectly with the Great Reset? Writes Kit Knightley. The myopic and headline-grabbing sanctimony of Russian sanctions, freezing FX reserves, blocking SWIFT dollar payment systems and access to IMF SDRs, ignores the otherwise massive and negative consequences for the West in general, and the world reserve currency in particular. Putin is turning up the pressure. The European nations have a difficult choice ahead. Either they can play ball and demonstrate to the world that their efforts to wean themselves off of their dependence on Russian energy have been mostly in vain, or they can face a catastrophic economic crisis as energy prices soar, leading to rationing, blackouts, other measures that will make the 1970s oil crisis in the U.S. look like child's play. Yeah, I was here then. I remember those. Genocide via food scarcity and price. He's got a chief. I represent over 70 major food suppliers as a broker. Trust me when I tell you that it is as bad as some folk thinks it's going to get. None of them have a clue how bad it is going to get. My advice is to everyone is to buy and store as much non-perishable food as you can and plant them seeds in the ground. Grow a garden. Everybody. You know, during World War II, it was patriotic to grow a garden. Yeah. Because there were food shortages. Okay. Because all the food had to go to the war effort. Well, the war is on, and the war right now is on, and the war is on humanity. It's against mankind. It's a eugenics war against the population of the earth. That's the war that we are in. Yesterday, Monday the 4th, a German retail chain announced it would raise food prices by 20 to 50%. That was Aldi. I don't know. They even put in the town near me, they put one of their stores in there. It's a discount food chain. They announced They're in their German stores, not here in America, but in their German stores, that they would raise food prices by 20 to 50%. Everything in the store is going up 20 to 50% on one day. So they're going to close for that one day, and then the next day you're going to go in there and everything's up. I'll bet you those food stores were empty by the midnight of the night before the food price. I'll bet you they were empty. So many people worldwide will be eating a lot less. It could be a matter of time before food riots erupt across the Middle East. Even before Russia invaded Ukraine and disrupted the global food supply, menacing food inflation ripped around the world, crushing emerging market households the hardest. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas. This is a live prophecy, reality, worldview weekly edition. We'll continue when we get back from these messages. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is. Speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Well, the good news is Jesus, and that this life is but a vapor. It appears for a little while, and then it passes away. compared with eternity, this life is short. And before we know it, we will be in the resurrection by the blood of Jesus. So there's our hope. I would hate to be in this world without hope, especially with the things that are coming on the world as we see them forming before our eyes now. I'm going to continue in this article. We talked about the German retail chain that is even moved into America here. Aldi, supposed to be a discount food chain. Well, they announced a 20 to 50% food price rise on all products on, I believe, Monday the 4th, yesterday, or a couple days ago. So over the weekend, they were busy changing all their prices. Yeah, and I'm sure that in Germany, that the stores were emptied out on that weekend. I'll bet you they were. You could probably find a report on that easily. Anyway, moving on. A new report Thursday via the United Nations World Food Program. And the United Nations is, for those that don't know it, it is the image of the beast. You know, I've got a book about that. And if you get the information in this book and you understand it, then you'll have a better understanding of prophecy. And that is The Beast Apocalyptic. And this book, you can find a link to that on my website. An Exposition of the Apocalyptic Beast Powers and Related Symbols of Daniel and the Revelation. And the key passage for the day that we're living in is, Revelation chapter 13, where we read about the final form of the seven-headed, ten-horned sea beast and its companions and its end-time companions. We are in that time right now, covered by that chapter, basically. And that time, his companions are the earth beast, the two-horned earth beast, which is America. And you can just look to Washington, D.C. Where do they get their power? Well, they steal it from the people of the 50 states. They have ripped us off because they have the power to rip us off. They've stolen our money and given it to the Antichrist. And they're stealing our labor through inflation in any way they can and giving it all to the Antichrist, because Washington, D.C. belongs to the Antichrist. So that is the head of the two-horned earth beast, is Washington, D.C. Okay. But like I said, if you get this book, The Beast Apocalyptic, An Exposition of the Apocalyptic Beast Powers and Related Symbols of Daniel, the Revelation, things will make a lot more sense to you when you read the Revelation, when you know who all the characters are. But I'll just tell you that Rome, or the beast, is Western Roman Empire, of course, with its wounded head healed at this time. It is like this. The Vatican is the Washington, D.C. of Western Europe. Only it is so much more, because it controls the Washington, D.C. of the New World. And that is the Washington, D.C. in the United States of America. And the beast, of course, the ten-horned earth beast, is Western Europe with its ten divisions of power. And the little horn is a division out of one of those. It's that city that became an empire, Rome. Okay? But it's gone through, it's not going to be a revived Roman Empire like some people proposed back in the last century. No, it's going to be what it is. What we have now is exactly what the scripture says. It didn't say a revived Roman Empire. It did say the head was healed, but that's not the whole empire. It just means the head that was wounded, that ruled Western Europe, that ten-horned beast for 1260 years overtly, now rules covertly with intrigue behind the scenes is, was, and is not, yet is. That's kind of a description of intrigue around this head ruling when it speaks of the beast that was and is not, yet is. People don't see it for what it is because it doesn't look like what it used to look like when it ruled overtly. So people just don't see it. But it is what it is. And the head of that beast, of course, is still the Vatican. The same place that was the head before the Vatican rose was Rome. So still ruling from Rome, only this time the Vatican at Rome. And it's like what's another thing going on in China to give you a clue as to that they're going to push it again, the same narrative, because they think it works so well. They're going to give it another go. But I say we resist even harder this time before. We won't be going, okay, I can go 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Because there is no full curve to flatten. We're all educated now, okay? We're just not going to go along from the start because of what they're doing in China, in what's their major city in China, where they're locking it down and they're doing PCR tests and parting out families. At least that's all the propaganda that they're putting out in the news right now, because that's how the last one started, okay? And then it went to where? Italy, of all places on earth. That was where it next went. And from Italy, it just spread all over the whole world. Now, who do you think has more influence in Italy than anyone else? Oh, of course, Rome. But who has more influence in Rome than anyone else in Rome? Of course, that would be the head of the beast, the wounded head that is now healed. Okay? So we have the beast, we have the image of the beast. Because the image before, the Mystery Babylon image of Daniel chapter 2, was a conglomeration of all the ruling powers that would rule from Babylon till Christ came. That's a template for the new image of the beast that we see in chapter 13 of the Revelation. Only this time it's a conglomeration of all the world powers of the entire earth come together to rule the world. And look what power they had. They had power to lock down in lockstep the entire world in 2020 out of the WHO, which is part of the image of the beast, the United Nations. Like it or not, this is the reality that we live in, and this is where we are at in Bible prophecy. No doubt about it. So throw out your pre-tribulation rapture stuff. We are in the great tribulation of those days. There shall be great tribulation, it says, and we're in it. This is just the beginning of it. And if they keep pushing the way they're pushing, we got to expect that anything could happen. If anything has happened in the past, well, it can happen in the future. But we must resist at all times. We must resist the evil that they're pushing upon us. And we must preach the gospel to everyone that we can, everyone within our sphere of influence. And that's why I started out our day with this scripture here, where it says, "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it." I know most of my listeners, they've heard the word, they understand the gospel, and they've received it, and they're bearing fruit, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. I'll be happy to be one that does 30. Yeah. I'll be happy. I'll leave the 60 and 100-fold to, you know, famous people like, you know, that really have that kind of outreach, that probably much more worthy than I am for that kind of glory, okay? I'll be happy with my 30-fold, whatever that means. I don't even know. And honestly, I don't care. You know, the results I'm not worried about. They're in God's hands. What is my concern is that I do the will of Him, that I live my life in a way that's pleasing to Him. Because God doesn't need me to bear fruit and to bring forth 100-fold, 30-fold, or 60-fold. He doesn't need that. That's His gift to us is that we can bring forth fruit. That's God's gift to us. We aren't great. We can't do it. He can do it through us, though. And so we just need to be available and as obedient as we can. And if you have a hard time with obedience, just keep repenting. You know, be like Jacob. Yeah. And say, I'm not going to let go of you until you bless me. Yeah. Be like Jacob. For Jacob I have loved, and Esau I've hated. Esau, he let go. He didn't care. You know, promises of God, he just did not care about it at all. He says, what do I need a birthright for? I'm starving. Give me them beans, man. Give me that bowl of pottage. See, he didn't care. Jacob, he's going, I'm not letting go. And, you know, I felt that at times, man. You know, I'm struggling with the sin in my life and those things that so easily beset me and all of us. And I'm struggling with them. I'm just going, God, I'm not letting go. So you're going to have to heal me. You're going to have to change me. You're going to have to make me better, because I just do not have the power to do it. But I am not letting go. I'm not letting go of you. That's what he's looking for. Jacob's. Yeah, I'll be a Jacob. That's right. Yeah. Because Jacob I have loved and Esau I have hated. So, and that's the point. You got your first, your family. You gotta bring the gospel to your family. You gotta be an example of the gospel to your family. You have to live it. And that's the other thing, you know, fear God. And even God says that, you know, don't fear them that can kill the body, but fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. So the fear of God is a healthy thing. You don't want your body and soul to be cast into hell. And you certainly don't want your family to go there. So if you love your family, if you love your wife, you love your children, you love your family, then fear God and keep his commandments. Learn obedience to him. You don't let go of him. And maybe they'll follow you and they won't let go of him either. And be honest with them. You know, if you sin and your family, your son or your daughter, your wife is involved in that sin, or you sin against them, and then you repent to them, to God in front of them. You say, I want to pray, and you repent to God for that sin that involves them or that hurt them. And they can see that and learn from that. That's probably maybe the most effective, you know, prayer and repentance that you can perform in your own family. Because your family knows. They know all your sins. They live with you. So you should repent openly, and they should know about your repentance. Yeah. Okay. So that's the most important thing. Let's see, there's more here. A new report Thursday, yes, warns that toxic combination of the conflict, economic disruptions due to COVID, and climate volatility resulting in bad harvests, they're going to blame it on the climate, are driving food prices to record highs as fears of shortages flourish. See, and they're worried that they're going to blame it on the climate, when I know it's the judgment of God. You know, I know what they're doing here. I know what the government in California is doing. And I know why we're having these droughts in America, is because America's being judged. Thank God that the judgment isn't war and bloodshed and death and destruction. But it is, in a way, because a lot of people are dying and suffering from the evil people that are warring on, that are performing their eugenics war on Americans and citizens worldwide. That is a judgment. It says, today in Europe, you would not even know it's spring, with hard frost, record colds destroying crops. China has reported, for similar reasons, terrible agricultural conditions, their worst ever. The WFP, the World Food Program of the UN, said millions of Middle Eastern, North African families struggle to even buy the most basic foods to keep hunger at bay. People's resilience is at a breaking point. The crisis is creating shockwaves in the food markets that touch every home in this region. No one is spared. Do you think Biden and his friends do not know the consequences of a no peace at any cost? Well, Biden announced it openly in one of his press conferences. He put enough coherent words together to tell us that we should prepare for food shortages. I can hardly believe that he cared to warn us at all. Of course, he was not the first. He was probably the last. Probably felt he had to do it because everybody else was already doing it. Yeah, I'm not going to stand around powerless as Washington's control freak psychopaths destroy everything I've worked so hard for. Okay, and that's a quote from someone, and I'm not going to go there and look up that quote. No one is spared. Oh, Corrine Flesher, WFP regional director, said. Yeah. And they have your death by needle, so I'm not the only one who sees it and says it. Whilst you were distracted by the battle for Ukraine, documents were published confirming Moderna created the COVID-19 virus. Yeah. Yeah, that we had a judge that did the right sense and said they had to release those documents. And yes, it's confirmed. It's all out there. It's evidence. I may be banned, doxed, and struck for saying what's already in the news, what is officially the truth. All the evidence continues to explode on a daily basis, showing how the COVID-19 vaccines are literally destroying people's lives, with uninformed people willingly allowing themselves and their children to be injected with dangerous experimental shots that prior to 2020 would not even meet the accepted standard of definition for the V, for the definition. It's very important to understand what I've been saying for many months now, which is that the plandemic did not corrupt the medical system. The corrupt medical system gave us it and is now responsible for mass murder and genocide. And I hope it does make it to crimes, to the court, to the world court, or whatever the court of that is, or the for crimes against humanity. A report released by the UK government has confirmed 9 out of every 10 deaths related to COVID-19 are found in those that are fully vaccinated. 15 fully vaccinated players unable to finish Miami Open. Think this is a major story. Think again. The 15 fully vaccinated players were too sick to finish the Miami Open. Can't be a big story in the world, according to Bill Gates, because it so generously reconfirms that those vaccines are poison, having by now brought on the mid-game collapse of 769 athletes worldwide or more since that the number has since that was the number as of March 30th. And those are only the collapses that made news, writes Mark Crispin Miller. And then we have nuclear consequences. It goes on and on. And this is quite an article. I'll put this one in the chat room too, for you all. You can check it out for yourself and check out the links there with it. I'm not going to read the whole thing. We've been saying all these things for years. Now they've become and are becoming reality. And that's the sad state of affairs in the world today. And it only points to one thing. When people become hopeless and they start looking for hope, we have the answer for them. And that answer is Jesus. That's right. The only hope in a world of hopelessness is Jesus Christ. Because we're all going to die anyway. And without Jesus, whether things are wonderful in the world, whether we have peace in the world, or we can see the world going to hell in a handbasket, there it is. Yeah. We still need Jesus. Our mortality will come to an end. We are born with that death sentence. The answer always is and always will be Jesus, no matter what. Well, I want to thank everybody for showing up for today's broadcast. You can listen to First Amendment Radio 24/7 on your stupid phone. You can go to our Mobi page there. I think it's firstamendmentradio.com. www.mobi.com/MOBI for a mobile page, so you can bring that up on any of your mobile products or on your laptop even. I mean, on your desktop even. It's there for everyone. And we do have an app on Android. And that's the Prophecy Reality News app. Make sure you get that. And I listen to it all the time. You know, that's, I put the things on First Amendment Radio that I like to hear. I don't agree with everything on there, and it's nice to hear other views, but at least what you hear on here is going to come from a majority reformed gospel believing view. That's it. So, and you will be edified receiving a lot of good gospel preaching and a lot of good worldview programs, news items on First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So just pick your block of time that you can listen to it while you're working, out on the job, have your podcasts on your whatever they call those things you stick in your ears that people have on. I got a set that I use when I'm riding so I can listen. And then tell all your friends to listen to First Amendment Radio. Yeah. Share the broadcast with them on social media and everything else. Just help us get out. And if you got $1 million, you can send us 100,000. Keep the rest for yourself. Okay. As always, may the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. We'll see you next time.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.